All right. It's 5:30. We're going to call our work session to order. We're going to talk about the Mills Road Water District. I'm going to let Mr. Rivazigno explain what we're doing moving forward.
After our last meeting, I took a look at the petitions that were filed, and the thought came to me that they were inadequate. Because we also have to go, more importantly, we have to go to the audit and control to get approval. Those petitions have to go to audit and control along with a whole bunch of other documents from the town. And I was concerned that that was never going to pass muster with audit and control because it was supposed to have more information in the petitions than just, I want a district. So my thought was, and then after listening to the people here at the last meeting about carrying a petition and so forth and so on, my thought was, let's just scrap all that, do it over again, and do it in a way that's going to be easier for the people. And that there's two ways to do a district. One is under Article 12 of the town law, and the other is under Article 12A. 12A is if we do it on our own, the town board. If we do it on our own, we can make it subject to permissive referendum. And when it's subject to permissive referendum, we can also make it mandatory referendum. So my thought was, and I talked to Bob about it, let's scrap it all. Do it over again, and we'll do a mandatory referendum. The people don't have to carry petitions, they just have to vote. And if they all want it, great. If they don't want it, that's the decision. It still has to go to the Department of Water and Control. So ultimately, just so everybody understands, ultimately the Department of Water and Control can say no, because the cost of this district is higher than the average cost for a water district. And every year the state comes up with numbers. It's higher than what the numbers would be. So that's why we have to actually approve on that. And we also need to it came up as well, that we need to get something from the village, because we're giving water to the village, we need to get something from them that says we have to do it.
And so, I sent that letter.
Okay.
I sent a letter to them, to the mayor, a letter requesting they take a look at what we're suggesting and see if they would pass a resolution allowing us to hook up to that.
And based upon all that, I just thought, we talked about it. I said it makes more sense to just start over again, do it right. Let's do it so that the people don't have to worry. And we had people saying, what happens if we're living in, or they're in Florida? Doing it the way we're going to do it takes care of all that. What happens just from a time standpoint? Once we adopt a resolution, we do this again, we adopt a resolution approving the district, we send the information to Department of Water Control, but from the date of the vote, assuming it's approved, we have to have, it's between 90 and 105 days that from the time that we do the resolution, between 90 and 105 days to have the actual vote. Now, if the vote gets turned down, we're done. There's nothing else to do. So, but everybody, my feeling is, I think I would like to see us get more financial information to the residents in terms of what this bond is going to cost and how long it's going to cost them.
Because right now it'd be like $1,400 for 30 years.
$1,411
a year for
30
years.
And I'm not sure, when you're listening to the people that were speaking, I'm not sure that is even registering, They say, how much is it going to cost? $1,400. Well, they think, I don't know if they think it's 1 year or what, but it's 30 years.
Yeah,
it's 30, that's a big number. And if there's enough people that say we don't care, the number's fine with us, great. Mm-hmm.
When you say enough people, you mean 51%?
Majority of the owners owning more than half of the assessed value. So you can't just have numbers. It's got to be the people who own. If they have the people that own little small parcels, don't own the majority of the land. That's not going to work. But those all after the vote, we've got to go through all that with our controller.
So it's like weighted votes in essence.
Yeah, in effect.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
Does a vote? So each person that's deeded on a property is a vote.
It's a vote.
So if there's two people deeded on a property, that's two votes.
Right. But they only get credit for one assessment. So their vote is for each vote is for that.
So if they're assessed at $100,000.
They don't get $200,000.
It's just $100,000 in favor.
Right.
To get to the 51%.
So the vote is based on what your home is assessed for. If the property, if the total property is worth $1 million and someone owns $500,000 worth of that property, then their vote would equate to 50% of the vote.
Now, is it, I'm sorry, is it any property owner in the district? Because that was confusing to me. Any deeded property owner in the district can vote.
Yeah.
Whether they're a resident or not.
Right. And the corporate owners, if there's a corporate owner, there's a couple, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask.
The corporate owner gets one vote. And looking at the numbers and the information that we get, there was a corporate owner that had four or five people.
So the president of the corporation, in essence, gets one vote. Yeah.
And because if he wanted to sell the property, that's who sells the property is the trust, not the people. The trust is authority to sell the property. We get a couple more that were also in trust. A lot of parents leave their property in trust for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So the trust is the one that gets the vote.
Right.
So how, well, let's say there's two people in that trust.
Just
how do they vote?
If there's two trustees, they still only get one.
Right, but what if one, I'm in favor of the other one's against? I'm just trying to understand.
They've got to vote as a...
Or they don't vote at all.
Yeah.
If they're right.
Yeah, if one's going to cancel the other one out, they'll vote. But the trust is like a separate person, you know. Mm-hmm. So everything that you do in the trust is like a corporation.
It's just protected.
You could have a corporation that has 25 shareholders.
Oh no, I understand, and that's why I'm like, if they come down to vote, you know, let's say the four of us own property and Pete, you know, Pete's in favor, but the three of us are against it. Pete comes down and votes yes, but the three of us walk and go, we want to vote against that.
If you own it as one property, then only Pete, depending if it's a trust, who's the trustee?
Okay, so the trustee.
The trustee is the one who has the authority.
Okay. Yeah.
So I have another question for you. So the valuation is on your current assessment.
Yes.
As far as the values of the properties.
Yeah, we've got the values from 2022 assessment is what we're doing.
Do you live down on... Okay. Well, and what we're going to do, all of this stuff, we sent all that information over to the assessor. So by the time, before this vote even takes place, everybody's going to know all that information, what each property is assessed at. That's going to come in from the our assessor, how many votes there's going to be, how much you're going to be paying. And right now, unless it goes up, and what we're going to have, Mr. Yeager, he's going to have the most accurate information available. Right now, it's $1,411 per year per parcel. And like Mr. Rivasigno was saying, with who do we have to send it to?
It's gotta be Audit and Control.
Audit and Control, their numbers were $1,060. That's the average. So the numbers that we have right now are about $350 over what their maximum is. And like Mr. Rivasigno said, if this thing passed, if they said no, then it's a no. So there's...
If we were under the 1,060 the supervisor just mentioned, it wouldn't go to Audit and Control. But because we're over that number, that's why they...
Is there any possibility of getting additional funding from other resources?
There is potential to get EFC Environmental Facilities financing assistance, whether it be low interest or zero interest bond. But you can't apply for that until a district is formed and the hydraulic study is done for the district. So those are the two steps that we'll need to do, or the town would need to do on behalf of the district before we can apply for that financing. A project like this typically would get some kind of either reduced rate or zero interest rate loan, but you don't know until you apply. You can't apply until you form a district. The town, you know, doesn't want to spend the money to do the hydraulic study if there isn't going to be a district. You know, so the first step in this is to actually have a district. The next step is to do the hydraulic study. You know, the hydraulic study is going to be fine. You're at a lower elevation than the hydrant you're tied into. There's going to be plenty of pressure and flow. that's a non-issue, but you actually have to do a formal study and model fire flows and residual pressures.
But that was all, that was all included in the overall cost of the project, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately, with district formation, there's lots of additional things that have to be done, especially when you go to audit control. There's a ton of information. We've gone through one of these with Genesee's
Western Sewer District Extension.
Yeah, Sewer District. We went through it, and it took a long time because you send information to them, they call back and say you need this or you need more. It's just very tedious, but that's what you have to do. You have no choice.
I understand that. Is there any consideration based on the quality of the water that people are drawing from the river at this point?
There would be through for the EFC financing. That would be a big component of how they score that grant. So that's why I believe that it's likely that you'll get either some kind of subsidized interest rate or zero interest rate.
Sure.
If we can do that, if we can get that at some point, it would bring your yearly payment down.
Right.
But you still, even though it's from ESD, you're still paying it back. It's not like a gift. So.
No, I get that. And obviously I'm a person that's drawn from the river, so the $1,400 is probably less than what I'm paying now to try and clean the water that I get in my house. Sure.
And there again, that's the benefit of having this mandatory vote. If more people are in your situation and say, we're willing to pay that $1,400, then it'll get formed.
And we don't have to redo the public here. Everything we
We're going to do the public.
You have to do it again.
Because we're going to have an updated map planning report. We'll do another public hearing so people can come back. But basically, it's going to be same information that was on the previous map planning report. But I want to go through the whole process because when we do, if we rescind this resolution, everything's gone. We start from scratch.
Okay.
So I want to make sure when we do it from scratch, we get all the information we need. So that when we ultimately send it to the Department of Audit Control, it's
everything's open. Right.
In the public hearing, you have to send a notice to them and all that information as well.
Yeah.
So we'll do another one.
So is the public hearing the next step in the process?
The next step will be to authorize the engineers to revise the map planning report. It's a very minor revision.
And that's on our agenda.
Right.
Yeah. And then after that, we would probably the next meeting call a public hearing. Or maybe some
first
thing. But then again, that's a public hearing to go over the map plan report. It's not a vote. But we have to go through that step in order to get to the ultimate step, which is the vote.
And so the vote would take place at a mailing situation, or how would that be?
Probably the ballots would be made available, and the voting would most likely take place in the town hall on a given day, whenever we set it up. The voting would be available, for example, from 9 to 6 or whatever. So it gives everybody a chance to get it.
Now, what if there's people that are not in town? I know you mentioned that earlier about people being...
That's why I think town, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I think that's why we want to prolong it so that way people that come, that go away for the winter to Florida come back in time, right? The snowbirds. They'll be able to be here to vote as well, right?
Do they have to vote in person?
I'm also going to offer absentee ballots as well.
Can there be absentee ballots?
Hmm?
Can we have absentee ballots?
I don't know if the town clerk's manual allows it or not.
It does.
It does? Okay. Then we would do that. But
well, I'm just going to, like, a trust might not even have somebody that physically lives here.
Right.
Or would be a town. That's all. That's all.
And then, I mean, since it's such a small district, it's not going to really be work to make absentee ballots.
Yeah, I mean, what was the property owners at the time you created them? Was there less than 50?
So there's 26 parcels.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And there's
less than that property owners.
Because some of them are owned by the same trust
or
corporation or person. Okay.
Right. If we go to the next step and we adopt a resolution approving the district, let's say in our second meeting in April, the vote would take place 90 days, no less than 90 days after that, or no more than 105 days after that. That was all, as a matter of fact, that law just got changed 2 years ago. It used to be 60 days, but now it's 90 days because COVID started the whole thing. So they changed the law to give everybody more time.
And one of the things that came out during that public hearing was people people said they didn't have the information. So when we're going to make sure that all that's going to be available long before that vote takes place, so that, you know, the numbers will be out, the most accurate numbers that we have will be out, and we'll already have the letter back from the village saying we can move ahead. And pretty much all the questions that people were asking, I mean, there were a lot of them. So we wanted to make sure. That was one of the big reasons why, you know, there was a lot of questions about how to do the petitions. And I've done them before. It takes some sophistication to do those. And if you don't do them right, then the petitions aren't valid. So we wanted to eliminate that, to make sure that everybody had an opportunity to vote, everybody understood all the numbers, all the everything that was involved in it. We didn't want to put an undue burden on anyone or any group of people to have to go out and get the petitions. But there's enough interest in it that we have to move forward with it. But after that meeting, there were more people than I thought that appeared to be not in favor of it. So. Well, you know, it's going to be left up to the people that live on the street. So we want to make it as easy for everybody. We want to make sure everybody has an opportunity to vote, mm-hmm. make sure everybody has an opportunity to know all the numbers, and if they have any questions, there'll be plenty of time for them to ask those questions.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Anything further with that? Okay. Park project update.
Yeah, I had asked to have this put on the agenda because I just wanted to know where we're at with what we had initially put in last year. You know, the $266,000. I just want to know.
Two projects going on.
Okay, so the field, when we did the ARPA funding for the field, right. Did we end up spend the $266,000? Was there any overrun? Was no. Is everything done?
It's done.
Okay.
That's going to be received. It's going to get done in the spring.
Okay. So, and the other question I had at the last meeting
is relatively, other than that, the field is done.
Okay. So it's got to be received.
No contractor is coming back to do any work on the field.
Okay.
It's done.
So we were stayed within the budget?
Yes.
Okay. I just, one of the things I don't end up seeing, and I haven't seen in general, is, you know, we fund a project and don't necessarily see where we ended up. So it'd be great if we have, you know, some kind of, oh, this is what we spent on, you know, doing the field, this is what we spent on the contract, this is what we spent, you know, that kind of thing, just to see where the money went. The other question I had was, we had gotten a water meter to water the field for seeding.
Yes.
Has that been turned in?
Yes, and we got it back.
Okay, so we've paid that bill?
It's free.
The water's free?
The water meter is free.
Right, but the water meter is what we have to pay. It's when we turn the water, and to pay for the water. So was that in the $266,000?
No. As part of our water bill.
Well, we use that water to work on the field. So in the budget,
right? You know, we'll use that water every year to water some form of field and grass.
Right, but you know, normally you're gonna don't we have water hookups that we do that without getting a water meter from the county or no?
No, because we're running it out of the firefighter. That's why we have the meter.
Okay. Okay. So we just run that under the general budget. That wasn't part of the cost of the project,
correct?
Okay. Because our comptroller had explained that, you know, we had a $26,000 water bill, and I think she attributed it to the spray part, but I don't think that's entirely true. Huh?
It is.
So what was the water meter part? Because that's set up separately, the spray part is. So what do we pay for water to keep?
I don't know if you'd be able to separate it out because we're doing it was the meter just through the
you turn the meter
fire hydrant?
You get a bill from the county.
We should be able to separate it out because we can look at the meter, the final meter read from what was run off the hydrant. So, but it's far less than what the spray part is.
Okay, you're right. I just, you know, it had been brought to my attention. We had a water meter.
A lot less.
Okay.
A drop of water versus a gallon of water.
Right. Oh, well, that's fine. I just, I would have expected that watering the field would have been included in the project of doing the field. So that's news to me. So that's all on that regard.
ARPA balance?
Yeah, I was looking over. Jen had sent me statement of expenditures back at the beginning of February.
Yep.
In the ARPA funding capital outlay line. And I have new copies if you want to pass those down. And that line is, we budget, you know, we appropriated 266 grand. We have 311,000 and change in expenditures. I was just wondering what the additional money was. I mean, I know we budgeted the 260 for the park. And, you know, I was just wondering why the GBAC donation wasn't in the appropriation part of that.
I have a breakdown right here if you want to take a look at it.
I mean,
the problem for us that when you put this on the when you send these in, we don't know what you're looking for. So then you come to the meetings and you ask questions. We don't have time to prepare. If you let us know what you're looking for, we can be prepared and ask. You know, you hand this out. There's a lot of information here. Now we'd have to sit down and study it, and I don't. You know, we don't have time to look at it. If you have questions, I mean, the stuff that you were talking with Mr. Merrill about, we could have, you know, he could have answered over the phone with you and gave you and saved time there. The ARPA balance too. I mean, what are you looking for? Yeah, you can give that to him.
Well, I'm just wondering.
That stuff can be all done through all ahead of time and answered, you know, more efficiently and effectively and completely if we know what you're asking for in advance.
Right. Well, at the last meeting, we did budget modifications. Yeah. That I pretty much justified everything on the sheet that Jen gave me. That was the one item that I noticed Tuesday night that, you know, stuck out, and it was, you know, $45,000 that I didn't understand why it wasn't under appropriations. So I did not have time to make a phone call with my job to get down to the bottom of that. So I just wanted to ask
right,
the
but
board.
You can call me at night. You can call me at night and I'll get those. You tell me what you want or send me an email, however you want to do it. You know, anytime that's convenient for you. I answer the phone at night, you know, when anybody calls, and then okay. I'll get the information and then it'll be complete.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to add something to that too. I mean, just with my busy schedule as well too.
Can you keep it down?
I had it on after Pack B, but anytime we add items to the work session, we should put, you know, like a little synopsis what it's about, right? Regardless, myself included as well too, so that way we all know and not wasting everyone's time.
Or just so we have a heads up.
Yeah.
So besides, I mean, it's just general.
Yeah. I don't think we ever done that before, but I think that would be good.
Yeah. No, I have no problem with that.
It'd make it easier to hold a discussion.
Yeah.
If you knew ahead of time.
Yeah. No, it was just something I wanted to bring to the attention of the board.
Oh,
there's
no
answers for it. I mean, I figured it was all stuff that we had said we were spending ARPA funds through. I just was surprised that it wasn't in the appropriations part of this.
Well, if you look at the breakdown of ARPA and that sheet I gave you,
mm-hmm.
it states specifically what the money was spent on and how much we have remained.
Yeah, no, that is great. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Can I see that copy, Kevin?
Yeah, I'll make a copy. I'll make a copy for everybody. I should have done it sooner.
Thank you.
Okay, PAC B.
Yeah, PAC B, I put it on the agenda because I wanted to know the other part was in this budgeting was that we had.
Now I gotta find it. My glasses are.
PAC B, we had appropriated like $33,000 and only had like $3,400 in expense. I wasn't sure what that normally means. I had assumed in any year I saw the budget for PAC B that we budgeted that because that was what we paid PAC B for the fees or whatever that we received to pass through to them. So that was my question on that.
Comptroller may need to explain that.
Well, and it might be from, I think the supervisor, alluded to a contract. But my question on PAC B was when I was looking at the sheet, we budgeted 33 in appropriations and only had like 3,400 in expenditures. And I didn't know if that had to do with what you had said earlier about a contract with them, that you were trying to iron out what we paid. If it's on that page, it isn't. You can look at that.
Yeah, that's year-to-date expenditures. So 33 is the amount we appropriated for the year, and that's year-to-date expenditures.
That was for 2022. She sent me that report in February of 23. That's for the 2022 calendar. And I just didn't know where that money, what that was for, and I should ask the comptroller.
Yeah, that's, again, off the top of my head, I don't know. I'd have to look at that. I have to think about it, and see what's in there. But the contract, the money we paid out was, we didn't have a contract with PAC B, and nobody could find one. Town of Van Buren, right. The village, PAC B, nor us. Nobody had it. So we had to come up with, okay, and the comptroller's the one who actually pointed it out to me. She said, how do we determine what to pay him? So we had to go back and do some research. We had the ex-mayor of the village. He actually provided us with the documents that we were able to determine how much we're supposed to pay out of our franchise fees. So then, once we did that, we came up with a contract, and then we had them sign the contract. Now we have one moving forward.
Okay.
And so that's why we paid. We didn't pay them until, and she was right, we didn't pay them until we had that contract in place.
Right.
So we just paid out, it was three quarters of last year, and now we're gonna have, the fourth quarter we'll be paying out shortly.
Okay. That was it.
Okay. Yes.
About the PAC, would anybody from the town have any contact information from PAC? I know they're doing business out of the office here in the building. I got a number from the clerk about over 2 weeks ago, and I've left three or four messages with them, and I haven't got a return call from anybody. I'm just wondering if anybody might have an alternative number.
Well, there'll be someone here from PAC B tonight that can give you a number. I don't have it.
This is only my second night, so I have no idea.
Yeah.
So this is all set up. So Brian, threw me out at the Van Buren last night. So yeah, Brian Hewitt will be here to make sure everything's done, and he's the head of PAC B at this point.
So he'll have it.
He's supposed to meet me here to make sure I know what I'm trying to do.
Yeah. So
Brian will be here tonight to be able to.
That you can get it from.
Okay, another question. The camera that we have on the back wall, is that associated with PAC at all?
No.
That's associated with the town?
Yeah.
What would be the possibilities that we might be able to utilize that video along with the PAC video for distribution of the town board meetings?
We don't have that video, and Mr. Rode is working on that now.
I'm just thinking, it might be, if we got two cameras that could work in, we could do a split screen on, you know, have the person that might speak and then also have the board in the same.
Well, again, Mr. Rhodes is working on that, and you have conversations with him. Why don't you discuss it with him?
Well, you know.
Yeah, I have to learn the system. This is what my time being required to learn this system is what is holding me up right now.
I appreciate that, and actually got my college degrees in that type of thing and studied that. So if you would like some assistance or opinion or help with that at any time, I'd be willing to offer some help, even if it's over the phone or whatever. Yeah. I have extensive knowledge with audio, video, and building and working the components and the software and stuff, so I'd be willing to donate my time if you're rude at the time I'd leave it any help.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. There's nothing else. We'll call the work session closed at 6:01.